who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason. Notice the downward spiral of sin. How its consequences are compounded. How God is... It's borrowing from the Old Testament prophets that talk about God is going to give sinners the cup of the wine of the wrath of God and force them to drink it. Why? Because they refuse to have God in their knowledge. They give up on God, God gives up on them. But there are consequences. There's a price to be paid. I know that Jesus paid the price. But if a sinner stays in their sins and they rebel and continue to rebel against God, there is a consequence. Because you know what you see happening here? Eventually, they go mad. Think about it. For this reason, verse 26 says, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women, exchange the natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to their parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. That's Romans 1, 8 through 32. But then turn to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, and read it all over again. What happens when men give up on God? God gives up on them. But He doesn't give up easily. And they're going to find that their life without God is not that easy when we start realizing what He allows to transpire because of their sinful, willful rebellion. And so, here we are in 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Does this sound familiar? This could be written in modern day headlines, but nobody would care, except you. Understand this, Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be... You want to know what's wrong in the world right here, right now? For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Young people, are you listening to that? Not to rub that in, but just kind of notice that was in both lists. Paul talks about it again. Disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. There it is, so clear, crystal clear. So when we look at this, we see the results of God handing out, as it were, and giving people to drink of the cup of wine of the wrath of God that is in His hand, that He says, you must drink this. There are consequences for sinful, willful unbelief. There's going to only be one solution. But a couple of things before we look at that solution. It's the only bright spot in this sermon. Beloved, the world is going mad. If you don't think so, you haven't been paying attention. Sorry, that's just the truth. I've had more and more people tell me in more recent times, in recent years, it's getting worse and worse. What is? And sometimes people could, or sometimes they couldn't put their finger on it. I'm just giving it a name now. You know what's happening? And you know how to know that you can tell what is really going on? Because the world is addicted to outrage. You want to know who the evil people really are? They're the ones who are most outrageous and the most outraged and the most angry, and they can't let it go. They won't let it go. And that addicted to outrage, a year ago, this was in the Wall Street Journal by Lance Moreau. Here's the heading. America is addicted to outrage. Is there a cure? He really didn't give a cure. That's okay. Here's just a smattering of some of the things he said back November 30, 2018. Outrage has become the signature emotion of American public life. Boy, has it. Pretty soon, absolutely everything becomes an outrage. You realize when everything becomes an outrage, nothing is. No, that's true. If people get outraged over everything, sooner or later, outrage doesn't mean anything. And he goes on and says this. Just as a dose of morphine may be appropriate to help a patient in extreme pain, so with outrage. But like morphine, outrage is widely abused and addictive. It may wind up becoming frivolous or fraudulent. As in all of those, quote, triggers, and I love this last term, and, quote, microaggressions. You realize the colleges and universities now have courses on microaggressions because everybody's angry and they're just little angers. And he asks, is outrage now an American entitlement, a permanent state of mind? And he concludes with this, a society that goes on in this way will exhaust itself. But like so much else today, it has gotten to be, this whole outrage movement, it has gotten to be a racket. He's right. The coin of anger, true anger, is debased, meaningless. Indignation has become a meme. You know, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to be up and current with the technology and the techno babble that's out there. And I kept seeing meme and it took me forever to kind of, I was too lazy to go look it up. Meme, meme, meme. It means not authentic. I mean, that's what he says. Indignation has become a meme, meaningless. Not authentic political or moral reaction to facts in a serious world, but rather a reflex. People get angry. That's just their knee-jerk reaction to everything now. A reflex, a kind of irresponsible play-acting. Or worse, a mania. It's either hypocrisy, all these people that are so angry about everything. But you realize what's happening. You're seeing people out there in the world so angry about everything except unrighteousness. They're angry at all the wrong things. They hate all the wrong things and love all the wrong, or excuse me, they hate all the wrong things and they love all the wrong things. You see what's going on? When everyone is outraged, he concludes, then real grievances lose their meaning. And the endless indulgence of outrage becomes objectively immoral. Wow. I noticed, because I like to see, well, who is this guy? He's a senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. And I'm thinking, he's going to be out of job because there's no ethics that anybody cares about except you and good people. But you begin to see what this... Okay, back to it. Are you watching as the world goes completely mad? Are you watching this? Like I said, it's the greatest or is the worst show on earth. Are you noticing who is going mad? Who is outraged all the time? Politicians, government leaders, the media, the Hollywood elitists, the sports prima donnas. They're making $1 billion a year and they get outraged over everything. Not all of them. The snowflake millennials. Young people, I gotta tell you right now, I'm so happy that I've never met any snowflake millennials in this congregation. You are responsible, upstanding, and outstanding young people, but there are a lot of people that are called snowflake millennials because they can't handle anything, especially the truth. The world is going completely mad. Who are they? They are the leftist progressive socialists. That's becoming a big deal. You know, they're saying the political leaders in these political parties are saying things they would have never said 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. Now they're pushing their agenda, this leftist progressive socialist agenda. And then we're hearing more. It used to be everybody who thought that there was this one world government that was a secret plan. They were thought to be crazy. Because they were conspiratorialists. Do you know they're actually not these people that believe in conspiracies? The leftists and the progressives are actually advocating globalism. You know what that is? One world led by them. Who are the ones that are indeed going completely mad? The rabid environmentalists, the humanistic scientists and philosophers, the social anarchists and activists. I got to ask a question. Where do you fit into all of this? You do realize what God says is ultimately, come out from among them, the world, and be separate, says the Lord. And touch no thing that is unclean. You shall be holy because I am holy. So where do you and I fit in? Are we going to be voting for these people in another election cycle and thinking nothing of it? Are we, not you, we, myself included, are we so in love with the world that they, these people that have are going down in the darkness and down into madness, descending into madness, are we in love with the world that they are creating and want for us? Are we giving them approval for all those kinds of things? We need to remember who we are and what we are about, what we have been called to. We have been called to be disciples of Christ, our only King, our only Savior, our only Prime Minister, our only High Priest, our only President. See, we've got to start realizing what's really going on in the world. There's something very wrong and rotten, and you probably think I'm going to say Denmark. No, they actually are doing quite well. There's something very wrong and rotten in America and throughout the whole world, because what we're witnessing is our nations and the world nations descent into madness. I said there's only one solution. Turn with me to Psalm, the second chapter. This is fantastic. As we look at Psalm, the second chapter, here's the answer. Can you pick it out? Can you see it? Do you understand? And what we've got to quit doing is we've got to quit looking from the bottom up. Because if we're looking at life from the bottom up, that basically means that we're in the pit and we're in the mire and the muck and the scum and the slime, and it's contaminated us and is affecting us. What we need to do is have a top-down perspective, a heavenly God perspective, as He looks down on what's happening in the world, and we adopt that. That's our mindset. Not the mindset down in the pit, not in the sewer or the cesspool of life, but the mindset that comes from God in heaven. And here it is. Why do the nations rage, the writer says in Psalm 2 verse 1, and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, His Messiah. Here's what they say. Oh, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. We're not going to be shackled. We're going to be free, the world says, free from God and free from His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's God's response. Verse 4, He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them down here on earth that are in rebellion to Him. The Lord holds them in derision. Then He will speak to them in His wrath and terrify them in His fury, saying, I don't know about you. I'm paraphrasing now. I don't know about you down there. But as for me, God says, I have set my King on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my Son. This is as if God the Father is talking to His own Son. This is the fullness and the spiritual meaning of this psalm. You are my Son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, God says to His Son. The Father says to the Son, ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings of the earth, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way, for His wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all those who take refuge in Him. Did you see it? What's the solution? There it is. Kiss the Son, beloved. You don't know what's going on in this world? Kiss the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, Messiah. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Make sure that He is that to you, and you don't have to worry about the kings of the world. You don't have to worry about the conspiracies of the world, the evil of the world, the descent into madness and darkness that the world is going through, because you have kissed the Son. Blessed Oh, the peace, the joy, the happiness of all who take refuge in Him. Kiss the Son. Okay, that's a beautiful metaphor, but what does it really look like? I don't know, but maybe this will help. Turn to Philippians, the second chapter. And what we have here is exactly what it means to kiss the Son. You do realize that kissing the Son is a mark of respect, honor, love, submission. That's all that and more. So you turn with me to Philippians 2, and here's what we end on. Have this mind in yourselves, verse 5 of Philippians 2, which was also yours in Christ Jesus. Have the mind of Christ, and that's the top-down approach and view of the world and life and what's going on in the world, top-down. You have the mind of Christ. Where's Christ right now? He's seated at the right hand of God. Oh, you know what? If you love Him and you believe in Him and you're obedient to Him, you're ruling with Him now. That's what the Bible says. Kiss the Son. You have this mind. Jesus Christ, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made Himself nothing. Taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. This is what it's all about, beloved. Not just for Christ, but for us to share in this. Therefore, what has God done? When His Son came to do the will of God and the will of God alone, and to become the perfect sacrifice for sin and our Lord and our Savior. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed upon Jesus the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Don't worry about what the kings of the earth are doing. And you can substitute any other high and noble, mighty title for the kings of the earth, prime ministers, presidents, rulers, whatever, governor, it doesn't matter. Don't worry about what the kings of the earth do. You don't have to worry because that king in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, at the right hand of God, ruling in the kingdom of God, has got everything under control. And so, what is my obligation? What is your obligation? Kiss the Son! What's that mean? To realize that Jesus has the name that is above every other name. And at the name of Jesus, the Christ, Lord, King, every knee should bow, submit, fall before Him, worship Him, obey Him, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's what we need to do. Kiss the Son by making the good confession of faith in Jesus Christ. When you do that, you're basically saying, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and nobody else is. There may be kings in terms of mankind and humankind and nations, but God is going to take every one of those kingdoms down one by one, and it will be the kingdom of God that remains. And so when you look out at the world and you see all the crazy things going on in the world, I trust you now realize why they are happening. Because as humankind continues to be in rebellion to God, He will force them to drink the cup of wine in His hand that is but the cup of wrath, the wrath of God, and He will make them drunk. They will go mad. You know, one of the things I think is just awesome right now, you listen to all these people and their maniacal ramblings and ravings. They're usually liars in the world around us, but now they're telling you the truth about what they really believe and who they really are and what they really plan to do in terms of this transforming America. Nobody knew what that meant a generation or so ago. Transforming America. What's that mean? Socialism? Marxism? Communism? Godless atheism? See, don't worry. God's got it covered. Jesus is on the throne. And what we need to do is simply kiss the Son. Maybe you haven't kissed the Son yet. You haven't acknowledged who He is and what He's about. You have not accepted Him as your God, your King, your Lord, the Messiah. Kiss the Son. Confess His name. The name that is above all names. Bow before Him in humble submission. Live in humble submission to Him. Maybe you've rebelled against Him even after naming the name of the Lord. Repent. Repent. This culture This country, this world is descending into madness. Don't go there, beloved. You don't have to if you kiss the Son. You ready to become His child through the obedience of faith? You ready to do what He asks you to do? You ready to reject the world and its values and its kings and accept the one true King of all? Will you do that as together we stand and sing this song? Will you come?
Restore my spirit, Lord, I need restored. My heart is weary.